on, talk to, or find a seat if you want to be comfy, because we're just going to get a short message now on Jonah. Here we go.
Joe always tells me it's going to be short, and I always do my best. Fantastic. So, do you remember, kids, that this is in flame? I think your memory verse is a bit like this, isn't it? Yeah, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And the story of Jonah is like that story in reverse. Like, you know, who's going to go for me and I won't. So just a little bit of, family snaps here. So this was a few months ago. And anybody recognize any of these guys? Steph, Liston. There's me at the back and a guy called Adam, some of you might know. And this is in Jaffa in Israel. And we'd had a week there. We were actually pretty tired out. It'd been a very intense week. And just before we got to the airport, which is Tel Aviv, and this was 2 days before the war started, we were there and we just thought we're going to have a nice coffee and a croissant and go and see this place. And this is the place where Jonah took the ship from. Amazingly, it's a real place. And there's just looking out from where we were sitting, you can see the city of Tel Aviv in the background. And that was the sea. It was the same sea that Jonah had got that ship. It was the same sea that that fish was in that ate him. It was a real story. I'm just going to pick a few things out from this story, okay? So this really applies to you children just as much as to the adults. God has a plan for your life. One of the children said to me the other day that she'd said to her teacher, you know how I like to help people? And I just wanted to say that's a gift. That's a gift of helping. One of the teenagers came up to me the other day and said, I'd really love to preach. And I'm glad that we can give opportunity to the young people at Carity Wood and different places to grow in the thing God's called them to. And they were beginning to say yes to that calling. God has a plan for every life. He has a gift for you and he wants you to use those gifts. Jonah had a gift. What was his gift? Preaching, wasn't it really? He was an evangelist. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. And so God had a message for him. And he said, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. One day he's sitting there minding his own business. And God speaks to him and said, I've got something for you, Jonah. And what do you think he said to him? It was in the story. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. And you can see on the map here, there's Israel down at the bottom. And Nineveh is miles away, hundreds of miles away in the mountains. And did he say yes? No. He said no. And there was a reason for that. The Ninevites were really brutal people. They were really horrible people. Of all the empires, they were probably the cruelest that there has ever been. I was reading about some of the things that they did to the people they captured. And it is so bad that I'm not even going to tell you. It was so brutal. They were so cruel. So there was a reason why actually Jonah didn't want to go and preach to them. And so he said no. He disobeyed. In fact, he decided to go in the opposite direction, and that's to Tarshish. And we know that that was probably Spain he went to. It's the opposite direction to Nineveh. He went as fast as he could in the opposite direction. He got on that boat in Jaffa, the picture that I just showed you, where we're having a nice breakfast. Maybe he had a nice breakfast that day. He got his bags packed and he was off in the opposite direction. And we can run away from God, or we think we can, but we can't really, because God knows everything in our lives and he's in charge of our lives. And God knows how to get our attention in different ways. Somebody called C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God whispers in our pleasures, in the good things. He speaks to our consciences when we know the difference between good and bad. but he shouts in our pains. And sometimes God allows pain and trouble and difficulty to come into our lives. And he's a good God. He's got a reason for it. He wants to stir us up, to rouse a deaf world, it says. And so Jonah, there he is in the sea. He's been thrown off the boat by those sailors. And he probably thought, this is it. It's curtains. That's the end. And so he sank right down to the bottom of the sea, probably thinking that was all. But there's a message in this story. God's mercy is greater than we can imagine. God was really kind to Jonah. He didn't let him die, even though he'd been disobedient. So what did he do? It says, God sent a fish. It didn't just turn up. God sent it for him, special delivery. And there he is. It's all dark down there in the belly of that fish. And he's thinking, I need to get right with God. Maybe not surprisingly. And there's another message I wanted us to get this morning. God is ready to forgive when we repent. And that word repent is, it's kind of really what Jonah was doing. He was going in this direction, wasn't he? He was going to Spain, and in the belly of that fish, he stopped. He turned around and he went back in his heart. And that's what the word repent means, to stop and turn around, say sorry for where you've been and decide to go in the other direction. And while he was in the belly of that fish, the Bible says God spoke to him something very important and very special. He gave him the message for the people of Nineveh. And this is what God said to him. In fact, he says this. He says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Another translation is, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. So if we are clinging, and he wanted to say to those people in Nineveh, if you cling to those gods, if you cling to your cruelty, if you stay the way you're going, you are forsaking the love that I have for you. So turn back. And then he comes up. And it says that God caused the fish to vomit him out. Ugh, not a nice word, but that's the word it uses. The fish was sick. I've had enough of this angry man inside me. Yuck, out he came. But he was grateful. God is the God of second chances. There may be people here this morning who feel, just still mourning, that feel, I've messed up my life. It will never be right again. God could never use me. God could never love me. I'm useless. I haven't obeyed him. Think about Jonah. Did he obey him? No. But God still used him. God is the God of second chances. And I've discovered that he's the God of third chances and fourth chances as well. And so he went and preached to the people of Nineveh. And here's the message again. God's mercy is greater than we can imagine. And the message got to the king of Nineveh, and he decided to tear his clothes. He got ash from the fire and he put it on his head. And he got everybody to fast in the whole country. Even the animals weren't allowed to eat or drink. They were really serious about it. And they decided, we are going to turn from our cruelty and our sin. We're going to let go of those idols and we're going to embrace what God has for us. God is ready to forgive when we repent. And God didn't say, oh, you've been too cruel. You've worshipped too many idols. God cannot resist that kind of repentance. There are people in the Bible, there was a guy called Manasseh, it says the streets of Jerusalem were filled with blood, but he humbled himself greatly before God, and God restored him and took him back to Israel, Because God cannot resist a broken, humble, repentant heart. He's ready to forgive when we repent. But we know Jonah was angry. So was God cruel to Jonah? No. What did he do? God's mercy is greater than we can imagine. And so Patrick was a very good plant. Well done, Patrick. And that plant grew up. It says the Lord sent the fish, the Lord sent the storm, and the Lord sent the plant. And it grew up just because he didn't want poor Jonah to be hot. And so this plant grew up and just gave him some lovely shade. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it, but he got it. But the next day, God sent something else. What did he send? Kids, anybody? Yeah. A worm. God sent the fish. God sent the storm. God sent a worm, and that worm ate that plant, and this beautiful covering of the plant that he was under was destroyed. The next day, God sent a worm to destroy the vine, and Jonah was thrilled, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He was angry. He was very angry. And I love the bit that we heard. Well done, William. You acted this so well. God said to Jonah, and you, Jax, you are an amazing God. Is it right for you to be angry? He said. And amazingly, Jonah said, yes, it's right to be angry. Even, and I'm going to be angry to the day I die. But it's not right. It's not right to be angry, is it? The best thing for us, adults and children, is for us to obey God. Anger makes us miserable. I know some angry people, and they're very unhappy. It makes us miserable. And being angry with God or people makes us unhappy. Maybe you've got a neighbor that you don't like very much. Maybe you've got a neighbor that there's some dispute over the door or the rubbish or the fence or something. God says, love your neighbor. I woke up the middle of the night the other day, and I was thinking about my Jewish neighbors. I live in Golders Green. And I was thinking about this verse, love your neighbor. And it's actually in Leviticus. It's an Old Testament verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus used it in the New Testament. And I looked up the Hebrew and I thought, I'd love to make a t-shirt that I can wear in Golders Green that has in Hebrew, love your neighbor. And underneath in English, love your neighbor. Because that has got to be the message of the church. We are the people that have got to display love to every person in this world. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. Amazing, amazing love. And this is what was worrying Jonah. He said, I knew you were like that, God. I knew you were merciful. I knew you would forgive them. And it was the very thing that he didn't want. And he was wrong. So the Lord said to him, this plant grew up in one night and disappeared the next. You didn't do anything for it, and you didn't make it grow, yet you felt sorry for it. He was upset about the plant, but God said, how much more then should I have pity on Nineveh, this great city? After all, it has more than 120,000 innocent children in it, as well as many animals. All you could care about was that plant over your head, and you could not care for this 120,000 children in the city. And the animals. God loves animals. Amazing. I know you like animals. Being angry is no good. Being angry blocks our prayers. There's a verse that says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. One reason why, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Every now and then in our married life, Joe and I have annoyed each other. I think I can say that much, Joe, honestly, can't I? And I've noticed that when I am annoyed, it's like the presence of God goes, oh, shall we pray? Oh, I don't really feel I can pray, because you feel that light thing inside. Anger stops God moving in our lives, so we need to get rid of it. And Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Shall we stand? You know, this is what Jesus said. He said, whenever you stand praying, which is what we're going to do, you only stand if you want to or if you can. But whenever you stand praying, he said, that's your time to forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that's a challenge, isn't it? Let's just look at our hearts this morning. If we have anything against anyone, would the musicians like to come? Maybe we could just sing again that one, Worthy, the one we just sang. Jonah should have loved like God loved. We're just going to pray. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful story of Jonah. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you loved those people of Nineveh so much that you sent Jonah to preach to them. Thank you that you were so compassionate that you forgave them. Thank you, Lord, that you sent the fish to Jonah because you were chasing him. Thank you that your love chases us. Thank you for the second chances, Lord, and the third chances. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood, that you have paid such a price that we could be forgiven. That if we say, Father, forgive me, you forgive because of that blood. Jesus, we thank you. We want to worship you this morning. Amen. So let's sing the song again. As we're singing, just let God move in your heart. It could be that it's difficult to forgive, and you'd say, God, I find this so difficult. Please help me. Nobody knows except for God what you've been through. Nobody knows what horrible things people have done to you or said to you except God. But he knows, and he loves you, and he is mighty, and he is able to change our hearts. But only he can do it. Only God can rescue, can he? Thank you, Lord. Move in our hearts, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well done, everybody. Well done, kids. Fantastic, fantastic drama. Let's give them a big hand. So we don't have to rush away. Some of the things I've talked about this morning, particularly forgiveness, is hard. There are things, you know, that often, you know, our hearts are hardened or hurt and damaged, and we don't even know. And then somebody says something and we become aware of that. And then we think, that's too difficult. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you, then do ask somebody. Do ask me or somebody else, you know, a friendly face. And we'd love to pray with you. Or if there's anything else that's come up this morning and you just think, yeah, I want to turn from that idol. I'm stuck clinging on to that idol. Somebody pray with me. Then we don't have to rush away. We're free to do that.